We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
We have offered up $100 to Ray Diaz, who's on loan from the Bernstein and Holmes show, and Adam Staszynski, who's in for Tanny and Shane for us, to track down St. Omni.
You find this man.
Who's apparently acting on Roquan Smith's behalf to try to facilitate trades.
Hello, my name is Mr. Snrub, and I come from someplace far away.
It said that his employment was Lifeline Financial Group.
Secret.
I called St. Omni, not on the message boards. So I went to an executive assistant for a guy, I won't give his full name, but who is an employer there. First name, Humble. So we've got a lot of interesting names at
Saint
Lifeline Financial
Humble.
Group.
Okay.
So Humble's assistant, Nicole, I spoke to her. I asked her about St. Omni. She said, well, he does work here, but you never see him in the office. He's never in the same place twice, is literally what she said to me.
This guy's Austin Powers.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Secret Asian man.
Again, so tell me how the sausage is made. Yep. Just give me the end product.
That's exactly right.
No, we're going to keep updating you.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Jim. Here we go. Here we go, Jim. Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Thanks for being with us, Parkins and Spiegel, on The Score. Last full show for us this week, and it's not even a full show. We're off in 20 minutes for Cubs baseball, but then Cubs day games each of the next 3 days. Shane off the rest of the week. I will be here with you and Tanny tomorrow after Cubs baseball, but then I'm off for the short shows Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, Thursday we
basically don't have a show.
We basically don't have a
right?
show.
Right, and then the short show on Friday. But I'm really glad that we were on today to talk a little Bears, talk some White Sox from last night, and genuinely, this is game of the year type stuff. There might be bigger games in terms of division matchups later in the season, playoffs on the line, that sort of thing. I hope that there are bigger games for the White Sox. But in terms of storylines and intrigue, you got a 5-game winning streak on the line. This is the team that eliminated you and embarrassed you in the postseason. And Dylan Cease, the brightest spot in an otherwise dark season, is number 2 for the Cy Young, on a historic run, 14 consecutive starts of 1 or 0 earned runs allowed, going for 15. The only guy who's been better than him is the future first ballot Hall of Famer, arguably best pitcher of his generation, Justin Verlander, who's the Cy Young favorite, who the White Sox knocked around for 4 runs earlier in the year, his worst outing of the season.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's a really fun one. Cease Verlander is special stuff, and everybody involved knows it. Verlander is the Nolan Ryan of his generation, and the fact that he's come back from Tommy John and just resumed being this guy is absolutely outrageous. And he knows how special this is tonight. He was saying, I don't think you get a lot of moments like this when you get two guys having great years like this to match up. Things have to align, so it's very exciting. That's Verlander yesterday talking about it as the old head. Super excited about it. And it's really cool, man. It's really cool to get this. And as you give the broader context, huge win last night for the White Sox. They've now won 4 in a row. I don't think they've been 5 in a row or 5 over 500 at any point this year. They were 6-2, 4 games over 500. That is their high watermark on the season.
Yep.
So now they're 4 over 500 with a chance to go to 5. And this is a real team. And they still did still did some very sloppy things last night in allowing those 2 runs to score.
The Josh Harrison play early.
Harrison play with a weird hop, although Johnny Cueto excused him. And then there was some sloppiness on a relay as well. A little bobble in there.
Yep.
Made it a lot easier for Gurriel to score that second run. But they hit well enough late. Big stuff from Eloy and Yoan, and big finish from Liam Hendricks and Cueto going eight. It's a great, great win. And following this up with a win tonight in this matchup would be very, very cool.
And so for some of the broader historical context of the pitching matchup, so Verlander has the 1.85 ERA, Cease with a 1.96. The last time two qualifying pitchers with sub-2 ERAs matched up this late in the season, 1985. Dwight Gooden against John Tudor, a 1.74 against a 1.95 ERA. Gooden threw 9 shutout innings. Jesse Orozco came in for the 10th, gave up a home run. Tudor tossed a 10-inning shutout. Cardinals won 1-0. They finished 1-2 for the Cy Young.
Oh, God, I love it.
My guess is this game doesn't live up to that. That's pretty awesome.
That's so classic. John Tudor was a crafty lefty who didn't throw super hard but was aggressive around the strike zone and got lots of calls. Think Tom Glavine or Mark Burley. And Doc Gooden was the prototypical young fireballer of my youth. And any young righty who comes with that crazy fastball and a big curve, and you're like, I think that's all he needs. Just 2 pitches. Hey, he's just that good. That's what Gooden was. Just blew people away. So fun. I love that comp.
So that's the historical backdrop for the game. You talk about Gooden's curveball. Dylan Cease, as Lucas Giolito told us before the season, when I asked him who's going to have more strikeouts this year, Giolito or Cease, he said Cease. And
I mean, have you seen a slider?
Yeah, have you seen a slider? Slider's pretty good.
Yeah, Mike Petriello today on MLB.com wrote about the slider, because on Baseball Savant, you can look at every pitch, and it's assigned a value, like a pitch value, right? So you can look at the very best pitches in baseball. Specific pitcher with their specific pitch.
Yeah.
And who are the best pitches in baseball? Max Scherzer's slider is 9th. Edwin Diaz's slider is 7th. But these are all pitches. So Carlos Rodon's 4-seam fastball is 5th. Justin Verlander's...
Should have made a qualifying offer.
Yeah, Justin Verlander's 4-seam fastball is 4th. Corbin Burns' cut fastball is 2nd. And the most valuable pitch in all of baseball from anybody, and by a lot, is Dylan Cease's slider.
I mean, have you seen a slider?
It's a crazy, crazy good pitch, and we know it's even different than it was a couple years ago. He's made all these changes to it, even made changes during the year. And he's throwing it more than his fastball. He's throwing it more than anything is that slider, and with very good reason.
See, now this is the difference between you and me.
Yeah.
Like, all right, we're going to talk about Cease Verlander. Yeah. You're like... Petriello. Mike or Matt? Matt?
Mike.
Mike, whatever.
Yeah.
Mike Petriello wrote about Dylan Cease's slider.
Sure did.
I go straight to the source. Dylan Cease wrote about Dylan Cease's slider. Okay? This guy wrote a poem. He plays disc, plays a little frisbee golf, throws sliders, and he writes poetry.
I love poetry.
And then he put a poem that he wrote about his slider on a t-shirt. And the White Sox have been wearing it the last couple of days, and they've been winning. Coincidence? I think not.
You see the little mustache that's on the side of the O?
Of course I saw.
On the poem.
All right. So, 3 people are going to read this poem.
Okay.
I don't really have much of an appreciation for poetry, so I'll go first.
Okay.
And you have a tremendous appreciation for poetry.
You know, I've had my moments.
You'll go second.
Okay.
And then we got something special for you. So, are you ready for my reading of Dylan Cease's poem about his slider?
Yeah.
Oh, slider slide.
I don't know if you and I should both do the whole thing. Should we split it? You want to take the first half?
I go 2 lines, you go 2 lines, back and forth, back and forth?
I know what. Yeah, sure. Sure, that works.
Oh, slider slide. Oh, slider slide. Past the batsman, I send my slider to hide.
All right, that's a terrible rhyme scheme. Oh, I'm sorry, that's not in the poem. Okay, I'll continue. Oh, slider slide. Oh, slider slide. Past the batsman, I send that round cowhide.
Oh, slider slide, oh, slider slide, a fortune staked on you, lest I overstride.
This is a real poem, folks. Dylan Cease actually wrote it. Oh, slider slide.
Can you flow, please?
No, sorry, no, I can't. Oh, slider slide, oh, slider slide. In the strike zone, indeed, a win is implied.
Oh, slider slide, the humans can't believe my 3,000 RPM and fastball ride.
That's awesome. Oh, slider slide, Oh, slider, slide. Your execution can earn you a bride.
Oh, slider, slide. Oh, slider, slide. God. Even the backup tried.
Oh, slider, slide. Oh, slider, slide. To the back foot of a lefty. Check swing, and the ump is wrong.
So
it's a very thoughtful poem when it doesn't end with a rhyme. Really throws you for a loop. Very William Carlos Williams of him.
It's a that's a poem, and he's out there doing it.
Yeah,
he's trying.
It's a newer type of situation.
It's a newer type of situation. A lot of repetition. Kind of a tough flow. And I don't think we did a great job. I think we did a bad poem, not enough justice.
Texter said he would have just lost my Cy Young vote.
But so that is a real poem that Dylan Cease wrote, put on a T-shirt. Yeah. The White Sox are very into. Guys have been wearing the T-shirt.
Yep.
But we were thinking poetry is all about delivery.
I think so. The dramatic reading has a massive effect on the quality of the experience.
And clearly you and I are not qualified.
Yeah, but you're a master debater. You're a solid orator.
I like to think so.
I was trained as an actor. I've had different moments in my life where I thought that maybe I could. No, we failed.
Well, we miss him so much, the great Les Grobstein. We decided, how would we characterize this, Spiegs?
Yeah.
We got the next best thing. To Grobber, if he was anything, you know, Beavis and Butthead in poetry, I believe, is what he specialized in. So we wanted to imagine what Les Grobstein reading Dylan, right? Like, Les is on the air last night after the game.
Yeah.
The T-shirts have been debuted. A texter says, hey, Les, did you see Dylan Cease's poem? Adam Studzinski pulls it up for him, brings it into the studio, mm-hmm. and Les Grobstein at like 3 in the morning reads Oh, Slider, Slide by Dylan Cease.
Oh, slider, slide. Oh, slider, slide. Past the batsman, I sent my slider to hide. I repeat, hide. Oh, slider, slide. Oh, slider, slide. Past the batsman, I send that round cowhide. Oh, slider, slide. Oh, slider, slide. I repeat, a fortune staked on you, lest I overstride. Oh, slider, slide. Oh, slider, slide. A lot of people in the strike zone. Indeed, a wind is implied. Oh, slider, slide. Oh, slider, slide. The humans can't believe my 3,000 RPM and fastball ride. Oh, slider, slide. Oh, slider, slide. KMA, your execution can earn you a bride. Oh, slider, slide. Oh, slider, slide. Even the backup try. Oh, slider, slide. Oh, slider, slide. To the back foot of a lefty check swing, and the ump is wrong.
Oh, God.
Rest in peace, Grobber.
Rest in peace, Grobber.
Please. So no one else heard that before this, right?
It's my first time hearing it.
Yeah. So nobody heard that. That was incredible. I'd heard 10 seconds of it.
Yeah, that we just trusted Grody.
To channel less.
Yeah, Studs. Okay. That's amazing that you didn't even listen to it. Good thing you didn't curse.
Well, Ray put it in for me. Ray heard it.
Ray heard it. Okay, good. Ray heard it. Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah.
There's a team effort back here.
Yeah, it's extra levels. That was really risky there for a second.
Extra levels. It reminds me of
how I do like to live dangerously, though.
It reminds me of how once Robin Williams did his impression of the Pointer Sisters doing their impression of Bruce Springsteen. But there was Elmer Fudd mixed in there, too. This is Grody's impression of Les reading the masterworks of Dylan Cease.
That's right. Well, it's just, you know, it's been an interesting week of hologram Harry, right? This is Les lives on through Mark Grody and Dylan Cease.
I just love that he fit the KMA thing.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. It's so good.
He put his little twist on it.
Do you have Scott Grobstein's phone number?
I do.
I want to make sure that he's still okay with us.
Well,
that he's still all right with our level of respect for the Grobstein family
and
the legacy.
He gets the station. He gets the bit. If Major League Baseball did not need to ask Chip Carey the Carey family,
they didn't ask him at all
for CGI hologram Harry.
Yeah.
I don't feel like we need to ask Scott. for Grody to read Slider Slide as Les. I don't think so.
Oh, God, that was beautiful. I think we have hopefully started a new thing. Here's the deal. Any ball player in town who writes a poem from this point forward, it will be read by Mark Grody as Les Grobstein.
No, but I think there's something there. We have to figure out a way to imagine what would the Grobbers take on this story have been, and then we have Grody recreate it. We can help him script it out or whatever.
Close your eyes and imagine, and you're probably right.
Yeah, exactly. Like I think there's just something there that is so beautiful. But there we go. That's a real poem by Dylan C. So Slider Slide as read by Les Grobstein, kind of.
That's a really awful rhyme scheme by Dylan, Dylan C.
Yeah, don't overthink
it. It's not iambic pentameter or anything like that. It's not even like A-B-A-B. It's just very strange. But, you know, I was thinking about it. He probably was able to stop worrying about his education and artistic development at the age of, 13? When he realized he threw a ball that hard? Concentrate on that all of a sudden in your life.
It's like the Derrick Rose story.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, this guy didn't really take his SATs. Yeah, okay. Have you seen his crossover? I would be too worried about my math and verbal either with a 44-inch vertical leap and those type of handles.
Oh, my God.
I'd be fine. Thank you very little.
So good.
So great.
We have Dylan Cease talking about this matchup, too, by the way.
All right, yeah, let's hear Dylan Cease ahead of going up against Verlander, the Cy Young favorite.
No, I guess, I don't know if getting used to it's the right word. I'm sort of indifferent about it. I just handle it as best as I can.
You still relish the challenge, though? Not only, you're not going head-to-head against him, but facing this team. And how much of a different pitcher are you from last October when you faced them?
Yeah, completely different. Like you said, it is going to be a great challenge. I'm personally looking forward to it, and it's exciting.
You've talked a little bit about him in the past and how long he's done it for.
Yeah.
What impresses you? I mean, I know you don't sit there and study him all the time, but what you've seen him in over the years, you've watched him.
Just the fact that, you know, especially back in the day, I mean, he would start out at like 92 and then he'd finish at 101, you know. And I remember a lot of watching him a lot as a kid and seeing that. So just the fact that I'm here now and he's still doing it, you know, it's pretty rare.
Have you had a chance to talk to him before? Have you met him before?
No, I haven't. I've talked with his brother a little bit, but I've never met him.
Was he appointment viewing for you when you were a kid?
Yeah, as much as I could. I don't think I had any special, you know, packages or anything that for their games, but he definitely was someone I look forward to, and then I probably watch him on YouTube and stuff like that all the time.
Can you not build it up any more than it is? In other words, do you want to beat him and that team more tomorrow than any other game that you played?
I don't know if it's any more. It's definitely very important to me. Yeah, I don't know if it's any more necessarily, but yeah, it's definitely something I'm preparing for.
It's pretty crazy that you can grow up watching a guy and then end up facing him.
It's a great thing about sports, right? That happens in all the we just heard Kyler Gordon yesterday talking about, you know, he was watching Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce and he just wanted to be out there competing against them. We see it in the NBA all the time.
Yeah.
Young dudes come in. Patrick Williams is like, hey, rookie, go guard Giannis. Go guard LeBron.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, it happens all the time.
But it's a beautiful thing.
It's great. It's funny. We've been talking about this White Sox team. Like, when are they going to have it? Are they going to have their turning point moment? I don't know that, you know, the momentum in baseball, next day starting pitcher, I believe in that cliche. But you win this game, I do think there's a chance for that swagger to come back that we've talked about.
This is the week for it to possibly come back. You just fed on the bad teams to the tune of an 11-8 record over 19. Not great, but you swept Detroit to come into this with a little bit of momentum.
Yeah, I just if you win tonight's game and Cease is awesome. Because, you know, baseball, we always talk about it. It's the individual sport that masquerades as the team sport. You like to say it's the perfect blend of individual and team sport.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they will be rooting for Cease 1B with rooting for the win of the game 1A, because the Cy Young Award is a really damn big deal. Like, if he outduels Justin Verlander and they win at home tonight in front of the team that knocked them out of the playoffs, their confidence is going to be at a high point for this season. That's just human nature.
Man, they're not getting it from the manager. They're getting it from some of the players, whether it's Abreu busting his ass and talking about it like he did a couple weeks ago, or this week, Cueto talking about the fire, then coming out, and that performance from Cueto to go eight innings. I mean, a guy starting the eighth inning while his team is losing, it doesn't happen anymore, really, in MLB, except for a tiny little handful of guys. And afterwards, Cueto saying, yeah, very much. Like, that was the fire. That's what I was looking for. Here it is. And as you played yesterday, Andrew Vaughn saying it has value. You know, go ahead and give the franchise to Johnny Cueto right now for the next 6 weeks or so. Let him be the mindset you adopt.
Give the franchise to Noah Weinstein, okay? He's here on a business trip. He's not here for fun. He'll be at the game tonight. I feel better. You think we're in good hands. Cease is on the mound.
Mm.
I feel better than Noah Weinstein's out there on the upper deck.
The skip.
That makes me feel better. You got a real baseball mind over at Guaranteed Rate tonight. You got Dan Bernstein. You got Cody Decker. You got Noah Weinstein. You got a lot going on there. Congratulations, by the way, to the Odyssey softball team. Proved a 9-0 over the Weeder.
Big win.
The Weeder.
Yeah.
Weeder.
That's because Cody's in town.
Yeah.
Big win last night over the Weeder.
Thank you very much to Adam Studzinski and Ray Diaz and Connor O'Donnell for all of their help today. Our guests were Willie Harris, Joe Ostrowski, and Noah Weinstein.
And Mark Grody again.
As Les Grobstein. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
Oh, slider, slide.